What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Anthony Cazenza here with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, coming at you with an impromptu episode. I literally just walked back into my house from Las Vegas. In case you did not know, I was at the NFL draft for night one, got some coverage there, was in the media room, which was a really cool experience. And up the day leading up to it, Wednesday, got to meet and talk to a bunch of really cool people. Talking Daniel Jeremiah, Trey Wingo, Joel Klatt, David Shaw, all kinds of folks. So here we are, night two. It's just kicked off, so I'm not going to interrupt that programming too much here with overlapping coverage. But I wanted to talk because of travel and whatnot. I could not get to a reaction last night or this morning, so I wanted to get one at the Daxton Hill pick for the Bengals late last night. And then, of course, tee up a little bit as to what's going on tonight. Now, some interesting names before we get to Daxton Hill, some interesting names are still available in round two. You're talking about N'Kobe Dean. You're talking about Tyler Linderbaum. Well, not Tyler Linderbaum, excuse me. He went to the Ravens. You're talking about Logan Hall and others that, Tyler Gordon, the defensive back out of Washington, those guys are available. I don't know that the Bengals would double dip necessarily at cornerback or defensive back in these first two rounds, but if they have Gordon at the top of there and Andrew Booth, the guy that they were interested in as well. Tampa Bay is currently on the clock. We'll see exactly what happens here. But you got David Ajabo, the outside linebacker slash edge rusher. You got Matt Corral, Christian Watson. I mean, a lot of names. There was a big run on wide receivers last night, a big run on offensive tackle last night. And then you've got, some other players and other positions. Edge rusher was a hot commodity last night as well. So a lot of guys are coming off the board here, but some good ones. The local kid, Desmond Ridder, he's still available, so we'll see what happens there. We know the Steelers took the only quarterback last night in Kenny Pickett, the only quarterback of the first round, so Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, those guys are still available. And so Tampa Bay is on the clock. They've got a couple minutes left, and we'll see where they go here. But I wanted to get with you, talk about what happened last night. It's really, in the grand scheme of things, a really mild night for the Cincinnati Bengals as compared to everything else that transpired last night. AJ Brown being dealt away in a trade and, all kinds of player, pick moves and all kinds of different things that transpired last night. It was a pretty wild first round and just kind of compounded on the really wild offseason, right? The really wild offseason that has been the 22 NFL offseason. So, look, let's talk Daxton Hill, okay? First of all, I'll share some of this here. I also am going to share some audio, some clips. I have them separated in different videos on our YouTube channel. They have not made it to the audio side yet. So you got to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will try and get some of these clips here and put them in this, in the audio version of this episode here. That'll go up a little bit later, but talk to Trey Wingo, talk to Joel Klatt, talk to David Shaw, talk to Daniel Jeremiah, talk to Kyler Gordon out there in Las Vegas, as well as George Karlaftis, who went one pick before the Bengals win. It would have been interesting to see if that's who they would have gone with had he not gone to the Chiefs one pick in front of them. So, look, we kind of knew that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to go defensive back pretty early, and I'll play you some of the clips here. I mean, they're not really outdated at this point because they're still – six more rounds to go here, but they were talking about early picks for the Bengals in these clips that I'm going to play for you. But here's SportsIllustrated.com They gave the Bengals a B. Cincinnati Bengals, Daxon Hill. They called him a linebacker, which I don't know why they're doing that. But although he's built more like a cornerback, Hill is physical and willing to throw his body around as a tackler. He showed off his elite athleticism by running a 4.38 40-yard dash at the combine and ranked second among all combine participants in the three cone, the 20-yard shuttle. The Bengals will appreciate his versatility as he can play anywhere on the back end. Hill was the top ranked prospect available, 23rd overall on my board. So they had good value there. They gave him a solid B from Sports Illustrated. I'm only going to share a couple of these. This is now the next one I'm going to show you is from NFL.com. And Logan Hall, unfortunately, the interior defensive lineman from Houston, as we are taking the air, Logan Hall just went off the board to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 33rd pick. So a guy that a lot of Bengals fans and a lot of pundits thought, and you'll hear from Jeremiah and others when I play those in just a little bit here. They thought that could have been a good player potentially for someone in the AFC North. The Vikings are now on the clock at 34th overall. So Logan Hall, no longer an option for the Cincinnati Bengals. That was fast. Here we go. This is the snap, day one quick snap grades from Chad Reuter. And if you follow me on Twitter at CJ Anthony CUI, you would have seen that I snapshotted this, but here you go. He gave a straight A. Michigan defensive back, Daxon Hill, number 31 overall. Hill can play anywhere in the secondary, says Reuter. If Jesse Bates, who received the franchise tag this offseason, eventually moves on as a free agent, Hill could end up filling the void at safety full time, with the Ravens taking Tyler Linderbaum, which I misspoke about earlier, so I apologize again, who would have been a nice fit in Cincinnati. Off the board six picks earlier, Hill was a sensible pick. So I think a lot of people, also you'll hear from Jeremiah talking about Linderbaum and the Bengals from a couple days ago here. People are liking this pick. Some fans were a little bit up in arms in terms of, why did they get this player? They could have maybe got a pass rusher or something, someone like that, to help them out more immediately. Maybe a Logan Hall would have made a lot of sense because of the void left from Larry Ogunjobi, kind of rotating. Look, here's the deal, all right? The Bengals have a kind of an issue at safety right now. And in the defense, in the secondary in general, they're lacking another, they've re-signed Eli Apple, but, the Trey Waynes thing didn't work out. So now you've got Chidobe Awuzie and you've got Eli Apple as your starting corners. You've still got your slot corner in place and whatnot, but in Mike Hilton. But here's the deal. Daxon Hill is a versatile guy. He is a guy that can do multiple different things in the defensive backfield for the Bengals. We know the Bengals. We know Lou Anarumo likes defensive backs who can tackle and are willing tacklers. That's why he liked Woozie. That's why they liked Trey Waynes. And that's why they liked Daxon Hill. So that's one thing that makes a lot of sense for him. Here's the other thing that a lot of people aren't really talking about, or maybe they have been and I've just been on the road. I don't know. But you look at the safety position. Yes, we know that the back and forth about Jesse Bates and the contracts fluidity situation there. I mean, we know that, okay? You got Von Bell also entering a contract year. You've got Brandon Wilson, there's that situation as a backup safety is a little bit in flux. And then you had Ricardo Allen who came in and he retired. And that was a guy that Lou Anarumo had ties with all the way back in college. That Allen was the player that I think now Hill's going to come in and be that guy. He's going to have more snaps. He's going to play a more prominent role than Allen did. And he's going to be a higher quality player than Allen. No offense to Allen, but this is a first round player here that we're talking about and a much younger one. So I think that Hill is going to step in and fill that right now. Here's an interesting situation. Packers look like they traded up. And they traded within the division with the Vikings, I believe, if I have been paying attention correctly. So that's interesting. Aaron Jones is making the announcement wearing a Packers sombrero, which is kind of cool. Christian Watson, they get Aaron Rodgers, some wide receiver help. That is the pick for the Green Bay Packers there at number 34 overall after moving in there. So another wide receiver is off the board. Now, Daxon Hill, back to him. A versatile piece. He's not going to be called on to be just this starting corner or this starting safety today, this summer, what have you. He's going to be kind of a role player initially, I would assume. And then he's going to move into you know, potentially a higher profile role as some of these contract situations do or don't work out. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how they use him. I envision him in that Ricardo Allen role initially, which is, if you remember, Ricardo Allen was a safety by trade, also played some slot corner, wasn't the biggest guy, much like Daxton Hill, but a very versatile guy, a guy they liked in some of those shorter areas of the field, the middle of the field, and you can kind of move him around and you can kind of let him play a little jazz, if you will, with some of these guys. So with a guy like Hill. So that's, I think, what is appealing. We know Lumanarumo likes to mix certain looks up and what he's trying to do on defense. So this is, you know, it wasn't maybe the name that a lot of people were talking, you know, there's a handful of names that everybody was kind of talking about, whether it was Linderbaum, whether it was Logan Hall, or, you know, a bunch of others. It wasn't that name that was brought up all that often, but he's a guy I think can bring value maybe on a somewhat limited basis early on, but then down the road, I think the guy that you can do a lot of different things with in the defensive backfield. And so hopefully, you know, I hope as you learn more about this young man and you learn more about what, you know, how Lumanarumo is going to situate his defense, I think you'll see and you'll connect the dots there as to why this pick was made, how it's going to work. And, you know, I'm not over-promising and under-delivering in terms of this guy's going to be a star. You hope that, and there's a lot of qualities there, the tackling, the tenacity, the speed, and the versatility. There's a lot of things to like there. I do think some teams were like, well, where do we play him, right? Is he our slot corner? Is he a boundary guy? Is he going to be a, you know, a safety in the NFL? And, you know, the Bengals may have an immediate plan for that, immediate long-term plan for that, or they may just say, hey, let's just try him in a couple different spots and see where he fits, and just a movable piece in the defense. So I think that's going to be something that the Bengals will really look forward to in terms of having Daxton Hill here. The Titans pick is in at number 35 overall. So we're going to, I think, is that Billy White Shoes Johnson announcing the pick? I don't know. Could be wrong about that, but I have it on mute, so I can't. Anyway, so Titans are picking, and they have selected, let's see who it is. It is Roger McCreary, another cornerback out of Auburn, a guy that was somewhat connected to the Bengals a little bit in the discussion there. So that being said, let's talk about who, well, actually, I'm going to play you some of these clips that hopefully if you haven't caught those on our YouTube channel, you can go catch them in their entirety. I'm going to play you some of these clips. Some of them are a little short. Some of them are a little longer. I've got Daniel Jeremiah, a couple minutes there. Trey Wingo, which is about 10 or 11 minutes. I'll play that. And then, of course, Joel Klatt, which is about 5 minutes. And then David Shaw, which is also about 5 minutes. I'll play those for you here. And you can hear what they had to say before night one. If you didn't catch those on their own individual video streams here, I'll play some of those for you now. And then, of course, we'll talk about night two as things go on here.
Cool. You had just mentioned Baltimore Ravens. You got some ties to that division there, the AFC North. How do you see things shaking out early? A lot of defensive backs maybe going to the AFC North teams?
Well, Cleveland's got to wait, so they got to wait their turn. But, you know, Cincinnati could go a couple different ways. When you look at what they've done on the offensive line, I know that Karius can play center, obviously, but man, if Linderbaum was there, that'd be tough to pass that one up. I also think you could look at edge rusher for them, just as a way to kind of close out games. You know, I wouldn't sleep on Ojabo there. They love Big Ten players. He'll be healthy in time for the playoffs next year, so he could help you in that regard. And then, you know, Pittsburgh, I think the quarterback thing's real. If the guy that they like is there at 20, I think they take him. You know, with Baltimore, their roster's in pretty good shape, but usually if you just take the biggest dude, you'd be safe going that way.
Speaking of the Bengals, obviously Super Bowl runner-ups, what should they be doing the first few rounds? I mean, they did a lot of work on the offensive line of free agency. Would love to hear your thoughts on that too, but what do you think they should be doing?
I'd look on the defensive side of the ball. Corner is an area they can look, and I just think you can't have enough pass rushers. When you have an offense that's going to be explosive and put up points like they do, you can build your team accordingly, and that's how you go out there and you get a pass rush to help you close out games and complement what you already have with Trey Hendrickson.
What do you think about some of your favorite interior defensive line, maybe three techs in this year's class, maybe second round, third round?
Yeah, I mean, when you Devontae Wyatt's going to be fascinating to see where he goes. He could go in the mid to late first. He could sneak into the second round. It's not a deep group of defensive tackles. So, you know, Logan Hall is somebody that's kind of an ideal – five technique and just kind of play on the edge and let him stack and hold the point of attack. But he's got some inside pass rush that's some of the best in the draft. So if you want an inside pass rusher in the second round, I think Logan Hall would be an interesting one.
Cool. Thanks, Dan.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
That's your time, DJ. Appreciate it.
Take care.
So that was Daniel Jeremiah. I caught up with him Wednesday afternoon, which was kind of a cool treat for me. And obviously, he kind of, even though he's kind of painting with broad strokes there, you got some information from him that was pretty accurate. The biggest guy, talking about the Ravens, and they go and they get Hamilton, the safety, who is a heck of a big guy for a safety. And then, you know, talk about defensive backs for the Bengals. Logan Hall, obviously, he just went off the board here, but Logan Hall maybe as a target for the Bengals. And then, of course, you know, just talking pass rushers. And I think that's where we're going to start looking for, you know, maybe Ojabo is the guy in the second round if teams are scared off by his medicals. Maybe the Bengals take a chance on him and they say, you know what, we're getting Joseph Osai back. We're getting Wyatt Hubert back. And Ojabo, even though he's not going to be available for a while, maybe if they are in that playoff run yet again, they can get that extra juice at the end of the season in the pass rush, and maybe Ojabo makes some sense for him there. So that was Daniel Jeremiah talking about the AFC North and the Bengals there, which was kind of cool. We'll talk, we'll queue up another one here. But again, pass rusher, and no one, interestingly enough, in terms of outside of the first round, no one really talked too much about tight end or other pass catchers for the Bengals. We'll see if that's on tap here. No one went in the first round in tight ends here. So as of now, teams kind of have their pick of the litter there. The Jets pick is in at 36. We'll see who that is. There's Kyler Gordon, I believe, is still available, unless I missed that one. But I think he's still available. And then, of course, I mentioned Ojabo and others that are out there. So that is a little bit of what we can look for here. I'll give you some more stuff. This is David Shaw, the head coach of Stanford, and who is doing some work, as he always does this time of year, on the NFL Network. Great guy, incredibly intelligent, and really, really just sharp and very, very nice guy. So can't say enough about him. Here's David Shaw, Stanford coach, who we talked a few things here about the draft, the Bengals, and the AFC North.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here with Coach Shaw, Stanford University, talking some NFL draft. How's your week going? How's the festivities out here?
Oh, outstanding. First of all, I'm so excited that we finally do this on the West Coast instead of doing it on the East Coast. And I think Las Vegas has done it really, really well. The hosting is phenomenal. Everything's great.
Well, I'm a West Coast guy, so I'm with you on that. The travel was a lot easier than it normally is, so I'm with you there. Pac-12 getting some good representation, particularly potentially in the first round here. A couple guys from Washington and SC and whatnot. Who are some of your – I know you've got a couple personal favorites in this class as well, some of your guys. But some of the guys we may hear called on Thursday night, what are you liking out of some of those guys, Kyler Gordon, Trent McDuffie, et cetera?
Yeah, I think Trent McDuffie is just, you know, here again, Jared and I talk about our time with the Baltimore Ravens, where Ozzie would say, hey, you know, put a red star on somebody. Like, that's the guy that you're saying is the player, is the person that you're putting your reputation on. And Daniel McDuffie, right? High character, high intelligence, great effort, good on the field, quick, explosive, gets his hands on deflections and interceptions, and is not shy in the running game. Like, the guy that you're going to pick him and you're going to have him for 8 to 10 years, because that's just kind of person and player that he is. Kayvon is a generational athlete, explosive, physical, kind of knocked here and there. And I don't think it's personal from what most of the scouts. It's just when you compare him to a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, who is 100 miles an hour every single play. If you're 100 miles an hour, 3 out of 4 plays, that's going to be the difference between you and him. So, but I think Kayvon's phenomenal. I think Drake London is a difference maker. being a former receiver and a former receiver coach, so we saw the receivers, we have two jobs. Number one, change field position, and two, score points. That's what Big Ten does.
Well, you mentioned an AFC North team just a minute ago, the Baltimore Ravens. I do a lot of work covering the AFC North, Cincinnati Bengals in particular. Where do you see some of those teams going early in this draft with some of the players there and their needs?
I think that's the crazy part about this draft, talking to all of these guys. After it's even involved in pick one, like pick one and two, we're not sure. We think we know the top two guys. We just don't know what's completely where they're going. Even after that, we still don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the AFC North, which okay, you can see you have these needs, et cetera, but there may be a team that doesn't need a pass rusher, but one of those great ones might fall in their lap. You better take them. I've never heard a GM say, we've got too many pass rushers, we're going to pass. No, we got a guy to attack the other quarterback. Because the NFL rank starts with three things. You better have a quarterback, you better protect the quarterback, and you better get after the other team's quarterback.
Yeah.
So teams that don't need an edge rusher, you may sit in there in the top 10, and maybe one of the top three guys falls in your lap. Okay, we kind of need an inside linebacker, but let's take this guy that sacks the quarterback. So that's why I think this whole thing is really unpredictable.
Talking with Coach Shaw of Stanford University, spent a couple minutes. He's going to be also on the NFL Network this weekend, as he has been doing some great draft coverage. I'd like to hear your thoughts on some of the interior defensive linemen. You've got one coming in this year's class as well from Stanford. So who are some of your favorite guys? Again, I know you got a personal favorite there, but some guys maybe to look out for, maybe even beyond the first round, kind of those middle round players.
Well, you know, that's probably where Thomas Booker is going. Big, athletic, physical. He's one of those guys that's over 300 pounds that ran faster than 5'40", which doesn't make sense. But he's quick and explosive and physical, and whether he goes rounds two or three or maybe slides into four, you're going to get a day one guy that's going to come in ready to play. Two-time academic All-American on top of being a great football player. Going to add to your locker room, going to add to your community. But outside of him, there's so many guys in this draft in the front seven totally. Multiple guys from Georgia, right? You got two interior defensive linemen. You got an edge rusher that may go number one or two, but they also have a good inside linebacker and a safety. Right, so you're going to find great players in the mid rounds. As far as interior defensive linemen, anywhere in the first two rounds, you're going to have a chance to pick a starter.
Last question for you. A lot of change up in the Pac-12, both at USC and other places. You guys are always in the mix. Just how are you feeling right now before the 22 season is on the horizon? How are you feeling about all the changes and what's ahead for the conference and you guys over at Stanford?
Yeah, I love where we are right now. I think we're very underrated. I think we're coming off a really difficult year with a lot of guys coming back, a lot of veteran presence, a lot of edge to our team right now as far as not being able to perform the way that we did, the way we wanted to last year. But our conference is going to be insane. You can make a case, a legitimate case out of the 12 teams, and maybe 8 teams have a legitimate chance to win. You could maybe even say 10 based on recruiting, based on coaches, et cetera. So it's going to be wild. Every single week is going to be difficult. No one has gone undefeated in our conference in a long time, no matter how good you are. Everybody else is really good also. So it's going to be a tough battle all year.
Awesome. Thanks. Looking forward to your coverage this weekend, and thanks for everything. Appreciate it.
So that was Stanford coach David Shaw talking with us day before the draft there. Really cool guy. And side note, he coached one of my cousins who played in the NFL, Kyle Murphy, played with the Packers and stuff. And we had a chat off the air a little bit about that. And he remembered my cousin's mom's name, first name, and just from years and years ago. So just a really, really cool guy. Can't say enough about David Shaw and, you know, the job he's done at Stanford and just how smart of a guy he is in terms of football and all kinds of different things. Great guy. So enjoyed that conversation here. A couple of different things that have happened here. You had Jalen Petrie come off the board, kind of a bigger, almost a little bit of a version of Daxton Hill, a bigger version of him where you can move him around and do a couple of different things there. Instead of kind of corner safety, there's talk maybe safety linebacker with Petrie. So we'll see exactly how he gets used. I think it was the Texans that took him. I'll have to double check that. And then the Falcons pick is in. Nakobe Dean is still on the board. Sky Moore is still on the board. Matt Corral still on the board. There are a lot of, and then of course, Desmond Ridder, and you've got a couple of other defensive backs in Andrew Booth and Kyler Gordon, as I mentioned, Alec Pierce, wide receiver. That's another wide receiver out there to keep an eye on. So, you know what? I'm I'll play both for you. I'll play both for you. This is Joel Klatt. We had a conversation with him Wednesday morning. Really cool kind of situation. He was in a pool cabana, as were the other guys at Caesar's Palace. So it was kind of cool. We got to sit down and just hang and talk with him. Here's Joel Klatt, Fox Sports analyst, doing some work also for the NFL Network. Another guy, really, really brilliant mind. And when you saw it, when I sat down with him, kind of a cool story. He's got his own little journal of notes that he's got detailed notes on all kinds of different players. And he also has his laptop with a bunch of different notes as well. So here's Joel Klatt talking about the Bengals, talking about the AFC North and other positions in this class. And you'll hear a consensus too about how the pass rushing group and others seem to be kind of the strengths of this class.
I think that the two strongest position groups are edge rusher and wide receiver in the draft. There's some excellent edge rushers, and some of these guys have been pushed down the list to where they're going to be second and third round picks. And in any other year, they'd be top of the second round or maybe even pushing into that late in the first round. Let me just give you some example of names out there. David Ojabo, after his injury, you know, he's going to have great value. Arnold Ebukadi from Penn State, Logan Hall from Houston, Boye Mafe from Minnesota, Kingsley, in Nagbari, I screw that name up all the time, South Carolina, Drake Jackson, USC, Nick Benito, Oklahoma, all really good players. And that's past all the top five guys. So edge rusher is really good. I think wide receiver is also really good. The best part about the wide receiver draft, at least in my estimation, is the eclectic nature of the style of play that you're going to get. You've got guys that are smooth. You got the speedsters in the slot. You got big receivers like Drake London. So, you know, those two position groups are the ones what's been interesting to me is the amount of kids that have come out of college and because of the pandemic have, you know, fallen through the cracks, I think, for a lack of a better term. Primarily because, in particular in the offseason, at which there wasn't a lot of offseason workouts, the NFL relied more on known commodities. So there weren't as many, I would say, openings for young players. I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but this is a fascinating draft, and the depth of this draft is there because there's so many kids. Remember, we've got a bunch of guys in here that took an extra year for COVID. So you've got this, it's basically 3 years worth of guys shoved into one draft. And that means that a lot of them are going to fall through the cracks.
What about cornerbacks in this year's class, especially ones that may go towards the middle and the back end of the first round?
Yeah.
Talking Tyler Gordon, Andrew Booth,
yeah.
Your thoughts on those guys, maybe as they fit with the AFC North? A lot of teams are needing some cornerbacks in that division.
They are. I'm trying to just think right now about some of the AFC North. I will tell you that, you know, McDuffie might not fit in that. I mean, he might go a little bit higher, but you've got Booth, Gordon, Elam. Those are all really good players. I think Booth is interesting because he's such a good athlete going all the way back. He was a five-star recruit, as you know. I'm interested to see how his quad issue is going to affect him going into the offseason. And if you're a man team, that's where he's going to be best. So much of corner is like fit, scheme fit. Whereas like McDuffie, I think, can play both. I think Booth needs to be in more of a man scheme because that's where he excels. Gordon, did you know Gordon was a competitive dancer as a kid?
I did not know that.
I love this, right? So he was really good. He was really, really good. Played basketball, ran track, all that stuff. He was only a one-year starter, and it was in his fourth season. And to me, that's always, I don't want to call it a red flag, but I'm always like, well, why didn't he get on the field a little bit sooner? I think Booth is probably a little bit better than Gordon, and then Elam is a guy that has the bloodlines. You know, his dad played. He was a freshman, all SEC as a freshman in 2019. Led Florida in PBUs and INTs for, you know, a bunch of years. So I just like him. He's got good length. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's got good speed, probably faster than he is quick. But I do know that he was a really good worker off the field as well. Yeah.
If you are the Cincinnati Bengals, you just came up short of a Super Bowl win, surprising run in 21 here. How would you, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, look to attack this weekend? You know, they have needs at corner, interior defensive line, but, you know, might you want to still get some extra help either weapon-wise, offensive line-wise, early on for Joe Burrow, even with the free agency acquisition?
I like them going corner, which is what we were just talking about.
Right.
And I, in my book, I have Elam there as the guy that I like for them. You know, he ran sub 4.4, he's 6'2". Like, that doesn't come along. And he's not a prima donna. Like, when you talk with people around Florida, they really like his work ethic. I like Booth, but I don't think Booth will be available to them, to be honest with you. So I think that a guy like Elam could be there. I really like Elam.
That does.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for the time.
So that was Joel Klatt, top-notch guy, and some of that interview could also be heard on some local Las Vegas radio stations as well. My boy Adrian there was also pitching in on some questions, and we'll sit down with a real intimate sit-down with Joel Klatt. It was pretty cool. So Bears are up right now. Interesting to see where they're going to go. Travis Jones and Perrion Winfrey are still two interior defensive linemen that are on the board. We'll have to see what happens there. You heard Klatt talk about Kaiir Elam, who obviously went to the Bills, moved up and grabbed him. A guy, it would have been interesting to see if he was there, if the Bengals had the choice of Hill, Elam, Booth, etc., if they still would have gone the way that they did and take Hill there, that movable piece, as opposed to Elam, the tall corner with a lot of speed, a lot of tools, had the dip in production last year as a junior, had a really solid sophomore season, and then, you know, had the dip in production and got, I think, you know, real, had a lot of penalties. And there's, unfortunately, you know, and Drake Kirkpatrick had a good, you know, a pretty decent NFL career, I guess, with the Bengals. It wasn't, you know, necessarily first round worthy, I guess, overall, but he had some nice moments with the team. But there was also the penalty issues and all of that. And, you know, when you hear that and the length and all of that, that goes with Elam there. And so there's Kyler Gordon. He is off the board now to the Chicago Bears. He is drafted. I think he was one of, if not the last guy in the draft green room there. So happy to see him finally hear his name called. I had a chance to speak with him as well as George Karloftis and those videos are up on the YouTube channel as well, so you can catch those. Had to happen to speak to both of those guys at a rookie event the day before the draft too. And both are really, really friendly, nice guys. So good to see him get drafted. Athletic kid out of Washington going to the Bears at number 39 overall. I want to show you guys this. This is on Cincy Jungle here. And I want to encourage you here as to going to that site and watching some of the cool videos of Daxton Hill being drafted and whatnot. So you can go there. Unfortunately, I was there and I was, you know, I had the ability to go in some press conferences and whatnot as the players were being drafted, which was kind of cool. But unfortunately, Hill was not present at the draft, so he was not able to be on site, be interviewed by those in the press conference. Otherwise, I would have had that for you. But here is I want to show you this. We had a question in the chats here about where the Bengals pick as of now. And again, this is as we're just at the start of the second round here. Here you go. Here's the draft. Obviously, you got Daxton Hill, who was the 31st pick. The second Bengals currently hold basically overall almost a pick per round here. They do have the 2 7 rounders. So you've got the 31st pick in which they use down Daxton Hill. You have the second round, they have the 63rd pick. So they are 23 picks away right now. Seattle's on the clock at the 40th pick. In the third round, they have the 95th pick. Fourth round, they have the 136th pick. Fifth round, 174th pick. Sixth round, 209th pick. And then two in the seventh round, 226 and 252 are what they have there at the back end of the seventh there. So, again, 63rd, 95th, 136, 174, 209, 226, and 252 on the draft tracker there. And I will pin this in the live chat so you can go there. Go also to Cincy Jungle, check out the analysis, and check out what we said about the pick, and check out the videos of Daxton Hill being drafted and other analysis. And we'll have all that kind of stuff up for you on Cincy Jungle. We'll have more reactions on this podcast, etc. I'm going to play you one more clip. This was kind of a fun one. I got to sit down with, you know, a guy I kind of feel is a legend in the broadcasting, sports broadcasting business, in Trey Wingo, longtime ESPN guy. Now he is with Caesar Sportsbook, along with Kenny Mayne and many others, Caesar Sportsbook. My guy Brad there, I met him Wednesday morning, and he said, hey, I've got this opportunity where you can sit and hang out and talk with Trey Wingo. Would you want to do it? I said, hell yeah, I want to do that. So this was a pretty cool clip. You could see he's highly entertaining. I actually ended up seeing him later in the evening as well at one of the hotels there, and we kind of caught up again a little bit there. So pretty cool stuff. I'm going to play this one. It's about 10 minutes. It is about bets and different things. A lot of it, you know, some of the bets and the draft talk centered around round one. We did get to some Bengals talk, a highly entertaining interview, though, I think, and not because of me. It was because of Trey Wingo being very entertaining. So I'm going to play that for you quickly again, and then I'll be back to talk with you more about the draft, and then we will close up shop here. I was going to say this was a brief episode, but I'm playing all these different clips. I wanted to make sure you had those in your arsenal to be able to listen, digest, etc. So I'm going to play you this one again. This is Trey Wingo, now with Caesar Sportsbook, formerly of ESPN. Great guy. We had a great chat, and I hope you enjoy this too. This is going to be about 10 or so minutes, and then we'll be back as the draft keeps rolling on here.
All right, Anthony Kazenzi here from the Caesar Sportsbook with one of the most iconic names, faces, voices, especially this time of year, Mr. Trey Wingo. Trey, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for that introduction. I don't know if any of that's true, but I appreciate it.
Oh, well, I think it's true. I know it's true. But before we kind of get into some betting things, things with the draft, and maybe my Cincinnati Bengals and the sports. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I hear you're the CEO of Trends here with the Caesar Sportsbook.
Yeah, the official title is Chief Trends Officer and Brand Ambassador.
Okay.
Which is a fancy way of saying I'm going to talk about sports. Is what it is. I'm basically doing a lot of stuff that I did all the years at ESPN, just doing it at a different place with a lot of familiar faces. Kenny and I are working together. It's really been great. So we're really looking forward to a long relationship.
Well, you set us up nicely in the sportsbook and cave here. Yeah, with nice leather chairs, big screens. You were on the big screen there.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you're seeing going into the draft. Draft trends. Who's, you know, a lot of people had Aiden Hutchinson going number one overall. That may be in flux if you ask some people. I don't know. What are the lines saying here at Caesars with number one overall?
Well, that line has changed, it seems. It was Aiden Hutchinson, and now it's Trayvon Walker as the betting favorite. Although, you know, who knows? I mean, this is such a weird draft on so many levels. It's only going to be the second draft in the last 8 years where a quarterback doesn't win number one overall. It's only going to be the sixth time since 2000 where a quarterback doesn't win number one overall. And we don't know who the first pick is. Like, there are very few drafts the day before the draft you do not know who the number one overall pick is. There's really a great deal of uncertainty. And I think, like, thoughts and prayers to all the mock drafters. It's going to be a carnage. It's going to be a bloodbath. They're going to get three right. I mean, it's crazy. We, right now, as we speak, we have eight teams with multiple first-round picks. That's never happened before. Most we've ever had actually used is six, several times. We right now have eight teams that don't have a first-round pick. That has never happened before as well. So this draft is really weird on a bunch of different levels because there's no great quarterback. So if you have those multiple picks, who are you going up to get? And does someone really want to do that? Or does everybody want to sort of trade back? Because it's a deep draft.
Right.
Because we've got two years of COVID football in college. So we had a lot of fifth and sixth year seniors. So it's a really deep draft. It's just not a topic.
So what is there an over and under set in terms of you talking about quarterbacks here? Is there an over and under set?
Three in the first round.
Okay. And where do you see that going?
Well, it's interesting because a few days ago the over under for Malik Willis was 9.5, or, you know, 9 or 10. And then Kenny Pickett was 10.5 and Devin River was 30. Well, over the last 2 days that shifted. Malik Willis is now 12.5. Kenny Pickett is now 14.5. And Ritter still stays at 30, which tells you they're getting the sense that there's a lot less action on those quarterbacks going up. We're going to see a run on offensive linemen, edge rushers, and wide receivers early in this draft. Those are the difference makers in this draft.
Are you seeing a run, you think, at quarterback later in the first round?
Yeah, Derek Stingley is fascinating. The kid out of LSU. He lit it up his freshman on that championship. He was phenomenal. And then he had some injuries, and LSU wasn't as good, and he didn't play as well. So he literally could go 3 overall. Like, it's possible he'd go 3 to the Texans. Lovie Smith, we're hearing, loves him. But you're basing it on film from 2 years ago. And how healthy has he been, and how concerned are you, especially with a foot injury?
Right.
You know, that's the basis of everything you do. How concerned are you that that thing that's been bothering him for 2 years is going to keep bothering him? Like, he has the best traits and skills of all the quarterbacks. With all apologies to Sauce Gardner. Understand. By the way, the full nickname for Sauce Gardner is A1 Sauce Sweet Feet Gardner.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he got it when he was 6 years old by his AAU coach. I mean, that's a classic.
That's
hard to roll off the tongue, so Sauce is probably better. But A1 Sauce Sweet Feet Gardner, that's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, there's another player, Smoke, in that draft.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a guy from UNLV, they call him the Chuck Wagon.
There you go.
So you got Smoke, Chuck Wagon, and Sauce. We're good.
I like it. Got a base cover. Kind of transitioning in terms of that talk about the draft. A lot of different things that have transpired in the
crazy. Craziest all season.
I would agree with you. So what are some of the biggest moves in terms of lines or over-unders with certain teams, whether it's Russell or whatever? You know, a lot of different moves. What do you see in there?
Well, the AFC West is the only division where every team's win total is 8 because Russell Wilson went there, and, you know, the Chargers went and got Corey Jason Jackson, one from receptions in 2019, and Khalil Mack opposite of Joey Bosa. And then, you know, you have the Raiders trading for teams and also getting Chandler Jones. So, but all this goes on one thing that the Bengals figured out how to do, beat Patrick Mahomes. Like, since he became the starting quarterback for the Chiefs, nobody in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, has thrown for more touchdown passes, more passing yards in his first 4 seasons as a starter. The Chiefs have won the division 6 straight years, 2 before Patrick got there, and the last 4 Patrick hosted the AFC Championship. The AFC West is tired of losing to the Chiefs. So all of this movement really has been about trying to dethrone Kansas City, yet at Caesar Sportsbook, they still have the highest win total in that division at 10.5, because until you show us you can beat them, we don't believe.
So I'm a bit of a dope. Last year, I did not bet the Cincinnati Bengals. I usually make a
but I mean, like, that wasn't a terrible idea at the time. I love Zach and I love Joe, but no one was saying in September, Bengal fever,
right?
Super Bowl. It just happened.
Right. When looking in your crystal ball here, do you see a team like the Bengals this year in terms of someone that they don't really have high expectations from the betting lines or just the pundits in general? But they may surprise some folks and either make it to Super Bowl or go far in the playoffs and win people some money.
Miami's interesting, right? They trade for Tyreek Hill. They already had Jalen Waddle. So arguably, they have the 2 fastest wide receivers of all time. They have Mike Gesicki at tight end, always really a big slot receiver. They have Raheem Mostert who came over. That's going to run the offense that Mike McDaniel is now head coach of Miami, the way he ran it. He was the OC in the past year in San Francisco. But it's all on Tua Tagovailoa. Like, I think there's more pressure on Tua Tagovailoa this year than any player. He has no more excuses. He will all be safe. He got Tron Armstead from the Saints. I'll protect you. Defense wasn't bad last year. So it's on you. If he's good, Miami could be really interesting. But the AFC is just a murder. It is. You got Cincinnati, Kansas City, got Buffalo. You've got so many good teams. I mean, top-tier teams in the AFC. The AFC is low. Now, the AFC has won the last 2 Super Bowls. I think in a large part because the AFC beats the crap out of us. You know, they really, really do.
Yeah. My guy, Kevin, here on the video here, he's a Bills guy. How do you see things shaking out with them in this packed AFC? I mean, like you said, the Bengals are now there. You've got Miami potentially on the rise. And, then, of course, the Chiefs and the rest of the AFC West. I mean,
to quote Josh Allen's tweet after that loss, after the coin flip loss in the AFC Championship, pain. Buffalo is—they got to prove they can beat them, right? Like, until Buffalo shows me they can beat the Chiefs, and it's going to be a different Chiefs team this year without Tyreek Hill. But I think people are not understanding how good the Chiefs receiving corps still is. I mean, Marcus Valdes-Scantling is fast and he's bigger. Nicole Hardman is still there. He's a good receiver. They drafted him in 2019 because they thought they might lose Tyreek to small field stuff.
and now he has a chance to shine. He's still on draft scouts. They decided to just shoot. They're going to probably get a wide receiver in the second round, the first round of the draft. The Chiefs aren't going anywhere. So it's up to Buffalo to find a way to freaking hammer it home. I mean, you know, if you squib the kick, you'd probably win that playoff. I know. This is killing you, and I'm sorry.
His hands are shaking now.
But, you know, they have 11 seconds or 10 seconds if they pick it. So they got to beat him. Like, Buffalo should be the team to beat. But until I see them take him out in the playoffs, I'm not going to believe it.
We know teams have a tough time getting back to the Super Bowl after losing it. Just quickly, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Bengals this coming season? They're a young team, young at critical spots, so you would think they're still ascending potentially, but, you know, that Super Bowl hangover tends to be a real thing.
It is, but they did a great job this offseason. They had one glaring weakness, and that was the offensive line. And they have shored that up with fighters. You know, Lael Collins, Karras comes over. And these guys are not just good, they're good. You know, and that's what you want. They didn't have enough nasty in that Super Bowl, and that's why Aaron Donald was in the game. And you make a very compelling argument that the best core of young talent in the NFL is Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon. I'm not sure right now as we speak there's a better core of offensive skill position players than those guys. All that being said, it was the flukiest Super Bowl run I've ever seen. And I don't mean that to take anything away from it. But if you go back in every playoff game, you know, the Raiders were down close late and they didn't finish it. You know, Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw that interception. That game was down the wire and it's a 52-yarder for the rookie kicker. And then you get to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship. The Chiefs were first and goal on the 5-yard line and they found a way to box that and only kick the field goal to send it in overtime. And then, of course, you know, down the stretch of the Super Bowl, they had the lead, and there were some questionable penalties. I get it, but that should have been a offensive pass interference on the T.A. and stuff. Let's be honest about that. I mean, it was a really weird run. They had the talent. I just don't know if we can count on those many things going right.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, 2 years ago, the NFL draft was set to be in Las Vegas. We know a couple of things happened to cause that to not be the case, but here it is now. At Caesars. Caesars is hosting it.
Yep.
We are here at Caesars Sportsbook. What does it mean, just the draft in Vegas and Caesars, you being a part of Caesars and the hotel hosting it?
Yeah, 53 days before the draft in 2020. We have it all set up. It's going to be here, and we had to shut it down. And the behind-the-scenes crew did an amazing job to make that draft virtual a reality. It was one of the highlights of my career. But the NFL draft is the ultimate traction. Nobody else would come there. So, of course, it should be there. Like, I would make the argument it should be in Vegas every year. We're going to have, I think, close to 750,000 people in town. We had 650,000 in Nashville in 2019. And, you know, Cleveland last year, the weather wasn't great. The crowds were okay. It's warm, it's sunny, it's Vegas. It's the ultimate reality television show. Like, you know, U.S. Open now has anchor courses, Pinehurst, Pebble Beach. I think Oakmont is one. We should make Vegas an anchor host for the event. Like every 5 years, we're back to us. I would love that. Let's make this happen.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Trey Wingo, Caesars Sportsbook. There is an app, correct? Caesars Sportsbook app.
Absolutely.
What else? Anything else we should know about going on at the Sportsbook besides this push cool corner that we're hanging out in here?
Listen, if you can't get in to see the draft outside, this Sportsbook here is the best place to see it. Here's what I predict. I have no idea what's going on, and that's what makes the draft amazing.
There you go. Trey Wingo, Caesars Sportsbook, thanks for your time. Thanks for answering some questions and hanging out with us. Appreciate it.
Pain.
So that was just a chat with Trey Wingo that I had there. That was just a little fun one for you here. Andrew Booth just comes off the board to the Minnesota Vikings, the Clemson cornerback, in which the Bengals had shown some pre-draft interest. There's some other players coming off the board, a couple of edge rushers, I believe, but there are still a lot of other talented and familiar names in terms of players potentially connected to the Bengals. Andrew Booth going 42nd overall to the Minnesota Vikings. So they get an active physical corner. You know, there's some people absolutely love this kid. Some people were lukewarm on him, but you know, he plays with a real passion. If you're watching the highlight clips here, he just plays with a real passion for for the game there. And sometimes it's a little wild. Sometimes it can be coined as a little reckless in terms of his play. But, hey, he's now a Viking, and just shortly into the second round, he's picked. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Again, the Bengals pick 63rd as it sits right now, 95th, 136, 174, 209, 226, 252. And we'll be back to talk more about what they've done on night two. I'm Anthony Cosenza. You can get this show and all the shows on the Cincy Jungle Podcast channel on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio on the audio side. Make sure you subscribe to the Cincy Jungle Podcast channel to do that. And then, of course, if you like what we do on the video side of things, go give a like to the Cincy Jungle Facebook page and or the Orange and Black Insider YouTube channel. We had a couple. I gave you some of those, the gems now that I put up a couple days ago and yesterday before the draft. We wanted to replay some of those for you again. Got a couple player interviews and whatnot as well. So enjoy those and give us a subscribe on the YouTube channel. And then, of course, click the bell to be notified for when new content is available and when we are going live. I'm Anthony Cosenza from Cincy Jungle. Have fun. This is my favorite night of the draft, night two. So I hope you all have some fun as well. We got six more rounds to go, essentially five and a half, I guess, now at this point. Bengals will be coming up in just a little while here as it currently stands. So at any rate, we will we'll see what happens as they go on. Look for pass rushers, look for interior defensive linemen, and then maybe some pass catchers, tight ends, wide receivers for the Bengals over these next handful of rounds. We'll see how it all shakes out. Take care, and we'll be back with more. Keep it to CincyJungle.com for your news, opinions, analysis, videos, all kinds of stuff. Take care.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.